Hello, everybody. Welcome back to LettermanRow.com. This is a special edition of Talking Stuff, the Ohio State Recruiting Podcast brought to you by Byers Automotive. I'm Jeremy Birmingham. I'm going to be joined by Zach Carpenter. We're going to break down Ohio State's latest commitment in the class of 2022. Big time addition today for Ohio State as Caden Curry, one of the Buckeyes' longtime targets in this class, has finally made his college decision. Let's get to it. Zach, it's here. Finally, 587 days after Ohio State offers Caden Curry a scholarship, the four-star defensive lineman from Cedar Grove High School in Greenwood, Indiana, has finally committed to Ohio State. I've known a bit about Caden. You've certainly spent more time with him, I think, than any recruiting writer in the country. When did you know, or when did you feel like it was definitely leaning towards Ohio State being the ultimate choice? I mean, if you can try to go back through this.
Probably after the Oregon game. That was his official visit. It felt like Ohio State was always in the top three. The first time I talked to him was like a day or two after he got the offer, and someone who covered Indiana high school sports was like, get on this guy now because he's probably the best prospect to come out of Indiana in the last like decade, or however he phrased it, and started building a relationship with him from that moment on. And then saw him in the summer and wasn't like, to be honest, I wasn't thoroughly impressed with like his size and like watching him. I saw him without pads on though. It was a summer workout, so gave him the benefit of the doubt. And then I saw him for a game later that season. That was his junior year, and did essentially complete 180 on him personally. So I'm like, this kid has a hope where he can go. We'll get into that in a second. But then once he took his official visit to Ohio State for the Oregon game, that was his second visit, and talking to him after, he had FaceTime with Larry Johnson and JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer in Larry's office on the Sunday to wrap up his visit. And they were really envisioning him being part of this big three. Like, he didn't even call it a big three. That's, I kind of put the designation on it myself. Yeah. That's kind of what they would be, but that's essentially what they're envisioning for him. And I mean, after that, he said that Ohio State was his favorite. They emerged as the leader. And from that point forth, he took an official visit to Indiana. Then he wound up seeing Ohio State again for when they put the beat down on Indiana.
Yeah.
And that was he was in the building, and Ohio State fans started chanting. What did they say? What were they chanting? You were there. You were at the game.
I mean, there was the OHIO chant going around the stadium, and I think that was one of those things for Caden where it's like, wow, it might be a little bit different at Ohio State than Indiana. And I know that initially he had at least real thoughts about staying home and playing for the Hoosiers. And I don't think that actually that really became a long shot until the way that Indiana's season went this year. And you start to see that the program a year ago was putting out a lot of stuff and looked like they were on the verge of being a real contender in the Big Ten East. And then this year they go 2-10. And it sort of wiped away a lot of that momentum there. And it, even for someone like Desan McCullough, who was trying to recruit Caden to Indiana, it seemed like it put him in a position where even Desan was like, hey, what can you do here? It's not something that when you have Ohio State and Alabama and Clemson and Oregon chasing you, Indiana being the home state school better have something really unique to offer other than just being the home state school. And they didn't. And Ohio State did have unique things. There's obviously the Larry Johnson involvement and his development path and history. There's the Nick Bosa comparison, which you've written about, the kid at 6'4", 240 pounds right now, maybe 250 now since football season's been underway. Like, this is a kid that, what I wrote in the analysis, if you were walking down the street and there was 100 kids walking down the street, you may not really notice Caden Curry, but the minute you flip the tape on Caden Curry, something very different is there. That the quickness, the first step, the ability to spin, the way he uses his hands, all these things are next level ready. And I think that, that's why Ohio State, despite the fact that Caden is, 125th ranked overall player in the country or something ridiculous in the composite rankings, the consensus rankings, Ohio State thinks this is a top 15 player in the country.
Yeah, and really quick, I wanted to hit on the Indiana thing. It's not as if, I want to make it very clear, Indiana was not just a hat on the table just because they were home state school for a while. I really did, for like for quite a long time there, Indiana, in my opinion, was potentially Ohio State's biggest threat here, because Alabama didn't come on strong until a little later in the summer, this past summer and in the fall. And they had what's called the bowl position, which is hybrid defensive end, hybrid linebacker. That was really something that he felt like he could play, you know. He thought he could excel in that role. But like you said, I think as this season went along, I think sort of he saw where, I guess, Indiana's program was headed, and it didn't have that same juice to it as it did last season. So I think Ohio State and Alabama emerged as a battle between those two. But getting back to what he is on the field, the motor is the number one thing that stands out. And anybody I talk about Caden with, coaches and whatnot, they pretty much single out that as the first thing that really pops off on film and in watching him in person. And that coincides really well with what Larry Johnson loves so much in his defensive lineman. I think we've talked about that plenty, that motor is kind of something that you can't really teach and instill in somebody. And he has that. That's why you see toward the end of games in the fourth quarter, he still has that edge to him, and he makes these big plays, these big sacks and tackles for loss, whether pursuing a running back in the backfield or chasing down a quarterback outside the pocket. He has that ability to finish plays and to finish games, which is why I think he's going to be so valuable in that sort of Nick Bosa role. And he has this like Dwight Freeney style spin move that he hasn't perfected, in my opinion, but he's clearly shown that that's a capability, something that's in his repertoire.
Yeah. If you put on his junior film, the first highlight is him lined up at nose tackle and does a spin move that it's ballerina-esque. This is a kid that, you know, we've talked the Nick Bosa comparison. You wrote about what Larry Johnson talked to his defensive line coach, Matt Patterson, about. That's the ceiling, right? Like that's the high point of if everything goes right and Caden Curry develops exactly how Ohio State thinks he can, then that's the ceiling. But I think the important thing of talking about recruits sometimes is the basement, is the floor. And I think that the floor for someone like Caden Curry, and this is a lofty floor, is someone like John Simon at Ohio State, who, when he came out of Youngstown, was that style of defensive lineman. He could have been an outside linebacker in the right defense, as you see him in the NFL. You know, 6'4", 245, 250 if he stays lighter. Could probably get into that 270 range if you see him get there. But I think that when you talk about the motor, I think of John Simon. And that's why, you know, we had Caden Curry as one of the first people on the list that we were doing the must-get priority series for Ohio State back when we did that in the spring. And it's just a simple situation here for Ohio State where they absolutely had to land Caden Curry with only one other defensive lineman committed, and that being Kenyatta Jackson Jr., with the uncertainty around Omari Abor, you know, Hero Canoe, Christian Miller. You don't know anything that's going to happen with those guys for another couple of weeks as far as where they end up signing. It was just super important today that they land Caden Curry.
Yeah, and like you said, being now one of only two defensive linemen for sure in this class, that versatility brings with being able to be on the edge and being able to play inside, that becomes even more important that they bring him in, because you don't know for sure whether Hero Canoe and Omari Abor are coming into the class. I think we're both on the same page that we do think that they will both wind up in the class, but you don't know for sure at this point. But like you said, maybe he doesn't stand out in a crowd, but I do need to make a point that when I saw him in the summer of his junior year and in the fall, compared to when I saw him in the preseason in August and for two of his games this season, he looks completely different body-wise. He retooled his body. He looks more of like a defensive end prospect. I know when I saw him, he had lost fat and put on the weight, but in muscle.
Yeah.
So he's a senior in high school who is going to be coming into the program already chiseled out, and he's someone that Mickey Moradi can and that strength staff at Ohio State are going to be able to work with really well. And he's shown the propensity that he can put on that weight without losing any of that lateral agility and that motor and all that stuff that we talk about. And I think the sky's sort of the limit, to put in cliche terms for him. He's just someone who is, I think his ceiling is an all Big Ten type of player. I think that's sort of what you're on the same page with.
Yeah. I mean, again, body style, the game style, the way he plays. I mean, I think it's funny that in the summer he made his first visit to Ohio State in June after like what, a year and a half of waiting to make that trip. And when the photos of that visit started to come out, people were like, man, he looks really skinny. He looks like, you know, are we sure this is a defensive lineman? And, you know, it was in the middle of baseball season just ended. It was not a situation where Caden had been doing the football workouts and all that stuff. This kid who loves baseball, very plus athlete, despite the fact that, you know, again, if you look at him, he doesn't have the long arms that you look for sometimes in defensive linemen. But again, that's where the Nick Bosa and John Simon comparisons come in, is that this is a kid who's going to get to the quarterback because he's not going to quit on a play. And I think if you have an opportunity to side him up on one side of the defense and you put Jack Sawyer in that same aggressive, like, I'm going to go until I can't go anymore mentality, that's the type of defensive lineman that really excels at Ohio State. And I think it's actually another situation. We talked about Gabe Powers in this Jack role that Jim Knowles' defense is going to be deploying likely at Ohio State. Caden Curry is a guy, if you look at Colin, what's his name? Freshman at Oklahoma State. I don't know. 13 sacks. He was a true freshman at Oklahoma State. Same body type. Caden's a little taller, but it's a kid who could play in a stand-up edge type of role if he needed to at times. And again, I think that's why it's so important for Ohio State in this class to bring in Caden Curry, because of that versatility. He's not going to force you to not take another defensive end like Omari Abor, or force you to say, hey, Hero Kanu, Christian Miller, we don't have room for you at defensive tackle, because he can do it all.
I believe Colin Oliver is the
Colin Oliver. I was going to say Colin Culliver, and I thought that that was wrong, but I was like, yeah, don't say it, because, and then I said it anyway, but Colin
just
Oliver.
Crushed it. Just
I was combining.
It.
I was combining Colin and Oliver, and I was getting Colliver. Anyway, that role, if you go watch the tape of Colin Oliver at Oklahoma State, that's the type of position you could see Caden Curry deployed at Ohio State also.
Yeah, and you and I discussed this, was Jack Sawyer seems perfect for that role. And I asked you, like, Kenyatta, do you think Kenyatta could play that role? Because I don't really think so. And you're like, no, they're bringing in Kenyatta, who's more of a – he's that longer pass rushing specialist. And Caden brings in versatility of being a pass rusher and a run stopper. But I do think he fits sort of that mold, who could play that Jack role with I mean, you look at it, Indiana wanted him essentially in that same position. So – and he – just watching him play multiple times, he's played defensive end, he's played defense tackle, he played a little bit of Mike linebacker for Centerville this season. I was told that in the preseason, like, yeah, we're gonna have a couple surprises for some people. Probably gonna put him at Mike linebacker, but they're like, don't tell anybody that, because we want it to be like a game plan that people aren't looking out for. I think with his combination of the different moves he has, that Larry Johnson always talks about, that toolbox. He has plenty of them that Larry Johnson is going to be able to work with throughout his career at Ohio State. And I think they hit a massive home run. And this is one, like you said, they could not afford to lose out on, not just because of the relatively small, at this point, as we stand today, defensive line class they're bringing in, but he's essentially an in-state recruit from 2.5-3 hours away at Center Grove in the Indianapolis area. And stacking Caden and Kenyatta on top of a class that just had JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, and Mike Hall in it.
And Tyleek Williams,
And if they wind up finishing out with one of Hero and or Amari, then this is just a ridiculously good two-year run of Ohio State defensive line recruiting. Put it into context for me, man, because you've been covering, obviously, Ohio State recruiting for a decade, and you know more of the historical context. So where
numbers-wise, it's not as big as we've seen some in the past, but with the transfer portal the way it is, Ohio State loses a lot of guys on the defensive line. They probably, you know, months ago we were talking about this class being 5 or 6 in the defensive line position group, but that was before JT Tuimoloau was in the class of 2021, and you weren't really sure what was going on there. I think talent-wise, you're looking at one of the best two-year runs we've certainly seen. The 2013 and 2014 classes were very, very good back-to-back. And then, of course, you have the 2017 class just because you had Chase Young and Nick Bosa the year before that in 2016 with Jonathan Cooper. So you had super big-time talents, but it wasn't quite as deep and it wasn't quite as versatile. And I think that's what makes this group really special. And again, it's been a year and a half, almost 2 years of recruiting for Caden Curry in Ohio State. Absolute must get. I know it sounds like a homer thing to say when we say throw out the rankings, because this player is valued way higher by Ohio State than he is by any national recruiting system, any national recruiting ranking. The On3 rankings have him way too low, and I don't know exactly why that is. We don't get an opportunity to really give our thoughts on that, but what we do know is that Caden Curry is commitment number 19 in the class of 2022 for Ohio State. The Buckeyes are hoping that he is the appetizer for a big day on Wednesday with the defensive line, as they expect to receive word on commitments or signings from Hero Canoe, potentially Omari Abor and Christian Miller. We won't know for sure about those guys until January, but we do know for sure Caden Curry is in the class and the Buckeyes got one of their big targets. That's Zach Carpenter. I'm Jeremy Birmingham. This has been Talking Stuff, brought to you by Byers Auto and Letterman Road. Thanks for watching. We'll see you on signing day.